With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. It's great to have you here, and I'm back writing. I met the great Thomas Sowell in 1989, and I said to him, how did you become such a wonderful writer? And he said he became a good writer by writing op-eds, opinion pieces for the Wall Street Journal and other newspapers regularly each week. And he said it forced him to not write an academic way, but write in a way that grabbed the attention of someone reading and hold them to the end and keep it short and to the point, which he carried over into his books and academic work. And since 1989, I have always been writing op-eds. I had a period of not writing them when I was a politician, but I wrote a lot as a politician. And I've had regular columns in the National Business Review, and the New Zealand Herald. And then they all dried up because in the case of the National Business Review, they kept saying, oh, we think you've written too much about the treaty, going on and on and on about it, too much about climate change, on and on about it, till I felt that I couldn't write what I wanted to write about, and so I just gave up. And then the New Zealand Herald just cancelled me. And, of course, I didn't realise there was such a thing back then as cancel culture, but, of course, there is. You're writing the wrong stories to what they want. And then a lovely friend of mine suggested that, along with Don Brash and Michael Bassett, we start a blog. And I thought that'd be great. And so I wrote columns for that. And then I just stopped. And I'd sit down to write a column, and I couldn't. I couldn't write a column because I felt that what I was writing was irrelevant to what was happening. Because I felt there was something deep going on, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't understand it. And that I was like an old man yelling at clouds. Totally irrelevant to what was happening around me. And I felt embarrassed because my name is on this blog. It's called Bassett, Brash, and Hyde.com. Bassett, by the way, with two S's and two T's. Bassett, Brash, and Hyde.com. And Michael Bassett and Don Brash would write, and others would write for this blog, but not me. Well, I took up my pen, I should say my phone, and I fired off a column for the first time in a long time. And I explained that I hadn't been writing because I hadn't had anything to say. And you know the interesting thing? In big part, it has been RCR and you, dear listener, and my dear guests that have got me writing again because you've allowed me to understand what is going on and to explain it. I used to write, I used to be a materialist and just think that there was no spiritual world at all, just what we could see and touch, observe indirectly, like a distant galaxy or a subatomic particle or light. And I regarded government as a very technical thing, like you want to achieve affordable housing. You're suggesting that policy. That policy's not going to work because I'd look at the incentives that it would create. It's just going to make them more expensive. Rent control is just going to make houses harder to get because, you know, I was an economist, and so I'd see it as technical. And I could write such articles over and over and over again, and I did, and to me it was all for not much point. And I recognised that politics skewed decision-making, so it wasn't necessarily a rational process because there were special interests at play. But I thought it was good to have a template for how you would do sound policy. I also realised that science itself had been corrupted because I'd been following the climate scam for 35 over years. But then it was COVID that hit. And I've talked about this a lot because it was dramatic on me and probably was for you. And that the great ACT Party that I had helped found and been first president of, when we had just our very first member signed up and then led in Parliament, even the great ACT Party supported shutting us out of our businesses and locking us up at home. As they say in the common parlance, which I always mock, that did my head in. And then the great ACT Party supported Take the Jab or Lose Your Job. On what planet does a sort of semi-libertarian party think that's a good idea? And so we had these tyrannical, evil policies, and my party was supporting it. And then I looked at this jab, and they said, oh, well, we're going to give you this jab, and it goes into your cells, and then it takes over the machinery of your cells, and it produces this spike protein, which is toxic. Ah, so my own body is producing this stuff. And I remember asking everyone I could meet, like medical professionals, how much of the spike protein is produced by my body? Oh, I don't know. But tell me how much was in the file. I don't want to know how much is in the file. I want to know how much spike protein. And then I'd say, well, for how long is my cellular machinery going to be knocking out this stuff, the spike protein? Couldn't get an answer. And just exactly where in my body is this spike protein going to? I couldn't get an answer. And then I said, well, why couldn't we just have the spike protein rather than have our own body produce it? Couldn't get an answer. All I got was safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. Just take the jab. And when the injuries and then the death started to occur, they were denied. And they're still occurring and they're still being denied. And we were abused. Called rivers of filth, trespass. And there's no policy debate in this. There's no reason or argument. It was just the whole world just rushed to this tyranny. I couldn't make sense of it because my whole life was about, well, let's just look at the problem here. Let's look at our options for trying to deal with this. Let's look at what the best option is. None of that. In fact, to even ask for a debate about it was to make you part of the problem. Because, you know, Nana could die this minute. You weren't allowed to question or discover. So I found that tough. But then the next thing that flipped me was discovering that the lovely teachers, very lovely teachers at my children's primary school, was explaining to my kids that they were neither a boy or a girl. And that was just what it was assigned to them at birth, and that they could be either a boy or a girl, or indeed, as I found out from my school, one of 72 genders. My middle daughter was 9 when the school started on her. And this, again, was impossible to debate, just asserted. And for trying to point out that sex is binary and decided at conception, and that every cell in your body signals boy or girl, you just were abused. And so I watched gender confusion grow in my kids and anxiety. And I thought back to our schooling when I was a kid. God, it's a terrible thing to say that, isn't it? But we promoted Christian values and they built character. But nowadays we focus on race and gender. Race and gender, race and gender. And to be non-binary is to be special, and to be Maori is special. There's no focus upon your character or what you know, what you can do, your humanity. And so it's not surprising that we've got a lot of kids now saying they're trans or non-binary, and a lot of confusion amongst kids. And again, the Great ACT Party. I couldn't believe this when this was pointed out to me on this very show, that the ACT Party supported lying on birth certificates. So I could go right now and change. I was born on the 16th of December, 1956. I could go back now and I could change my birth certificate and say that on 16th of December, 1956, a girl was born, me. And I'd then be legally a woman. And you would never know I'd changed my birth certificate. And the Great ACT Party supported that. Lie. It's lying. A man can't become a woman. Ever. Decided at conception. Full stop. Can't reverse that. Oh, you can wear a dress. You can put lipstick on. You can surgically mutilate yourself. You can take drugs. Every cell in your body, though, says you're a boy or a man. No amount of drugs changes that. No amount of lipstick. It seemed to me that we were just living in a world of lies that couldn't be questioned. And that every politician went along with these lies. So, with the help of RCR and Mary Buskey, I bit the bullet, and I thought, I need to understand this. And I can remember metaphorically wrapping a wet towel around my head, and I spent a year studying this critical theory. God, it hurt. It hurt a lot. It is so insane. But this is what our media, our corporations, our government departments, our universities, our schools, our politics are steeped in it, even if they don't know it. It is a total denial of truth. Just you have your truth, I have mine. It is every debate being reduced to there being a victim and there being an oppressor. And you identify who the victim is and you identify the oppressor, and you know what to do. It is abuse and name-calling. It is the fanaticism that we see. It is the bullying, and it is the violence. I couldn't have worked through all this just on my own. And so I thank you, dear listeners, and my guests. And I thank Voices for Freedom. I thank Doctors Speaking Out on Science. I think of Linda Wharton, Let Kids Be Kids, Resist Gender Education, Family First. Owen X, thank you, Elon Musk, that have allowed me to realize that I'm not alone. And to realize that what we face now is not what is the best policy. The problem we now face is cultural and spiritual. It's not whether we should lift taxes or lower taxes, or put sanitary products in boys' toilets. It's a question of who we are and what we believe. And in fact, if we're debating policy, we're losing. We need to back right up and debate the importance of facts and the importance of reason. We need to establish that there is a truth, and that while science can't deliver the final truth, we can continually search for the truth and get nearer and nearer to it and greatly improve our knowledge and understanding in doing so. We need again to hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What a beautiful sentence. We need once more to fight for free speech and for justice to be blind as to who you are and to the colour of your skin. We need to fight for Western civilization. We need to fight for the Judeo-Christian belief that underpins it. We need to fight for our children who are lost without belief, left with the inability to reason, having been indoctrinated in an ideology that is destructive of Western civilization and Judeo-Christian belief. We actually have a fight on our hands about our very existence, a fight between civilization and barbarism. And this fight is every bit as big as World War II. But in many ways it's tougher, because this fight is from within our own country. And indeed, within our own minds, where these thoughts keep getting planted and propagandized to us. And in this fight, the enemy has our children. Send me a text, 2057. Email me, inbox@radleycheck.radio.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.